And we get started. Now, can everybody hear me okay and give me an amen? Because, again, we were using Discord. We got used to that, but there was things that came through, so we're using this for tonight. So I hope to have everything fixed by tomorrow. Then next week, we'll be back on Discord. It's just, you know, folks, it's just some things that was going on, but, you know, I kind of took a little step away from this, and I kind of got rid of everything. And I was telling a few from that night that I did that, you know, I wrestled with the Holy Spirit, you know, like I believe it was old Jacob, you know, when he was wrestling with God, you know, he wanted to get his promise and he kept on at it till he eventually ended up breaking his hip and everything else. But, you know, same thing with this, I was wrestling with it, you know, because it was causing a lot of distractions. It was really just causing a lot of other uneasy feelings and you know, just so much was going on, you know, it just took the primary focus away from God. And, you know, and I always talk to a lot of people, and, you know, if we are dealing with things that's robbing you from that joy, if it's pulling you away from God, if it's causing you a lot of hardships and headaches and everything else, usually you best step away from it a little bit and get some clarity on this thing and seek the Holy Spirit. And I did, and I went into my little prayer closet, as another person I was talking to online said to do. And when I got up in that morning, you know, it's just the Holy Spirit was convicting me too much just to go ahead and shut all this down, get rid of it, close, and turn the PC off. And I left it off till I turned it back on this morning. You know, I turned it on yesterday because I had to send a few things out, you know, for Lisa, for the messages, for the scriptures tonight. But, you know, I stayed away from this thing. And, you know, my wife's working, so I just sat alone on the porch, you know, no TV, no radio, no nothing. And, I mean, I just sat there in silence, and I was just going through scriptures. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I had some good clarity. You know, for the first time, and quite frankly, in the last few weeks, nothing was really clouding the mind. It was clear, and it was wonderful. And the Lord, you know, gave me such, you know, clarity. I call it good clarity and peace. You know, I knew that I needed to do what I had to do. And even though some may not agree with it, some was a little upset about this, you know, again, I was writing a letter this morning. It's not about what they think. It's all about what God thinks. And this is the whole purpose. You know, we're not answering to men. We answer to God. But, you know, and I started thinking, I was talking to a few this morning, you know, and they were trying to install Zoom for this for the night, and they were having some problems with the setup and all that stuff. So, you know, I started like, man, you know, how can we make this easy for them to join? And the only thing they was pointing me back to was that Discord server, because I have to admit, you know, it is an easy interface and it works good. We did it, I believe, last Friday, and everybody, you know, said they heard me very clear on it. So I said, well, how do I go about doing this? So, you know, again, I meditated on it, and let's say, for right now, let's just keep this thing private. Don't put no links on the internet for anybody and everybody to join, for people to pass it around or whatever. Just make it private and keep the few close friends and let it be like this for a while and let God take his course. I said, okay, we could try that, you know, so that's why I've been telling everybody and trying to let them know, hey, you know, they saw the server deleted, but, you know, if you're back on, if you got somebody you want to know to join it, just let me know and I can create an invite and you can take it and pass it on to them. It's only going to be a one-time use. Once they use it, that's it. It won't be good no more. So we won't have to worry about the internet for a while of anybody joining with fake names and what they call VPNs and just lurking in the room or causing discord in the background, whatever. So we ain't going to worry about that for right now. I may not even open it up to the internet. Who knows, you know. But right now, like I told I, you know, he was a little bit down and bummed on this too, you know, about, you know, we're not in a partnership on this. But, you know, again, we're just going to have to let God take his course. And that's what I'm telling the brother, you know, hey, I wish it would have worked out. But, you know, there's no reason for us to not be friends and no reason for us to be apart. And Treasure came in the room and I wish I could have had, you know, fixed up, but like he even said, you know, our main purpose and our goal is we should all agree to try to fellowship together, you know, so we do have to do what we have to do, but let's give the glory to God, and let's be honoring God, and let us have the peace with God. So if you're not meeting one of those criteria and you're not getting at peace, then you have to find out what's causing the disruption at peace and address it. And sometimes if you have to, separate from it. And I also look, you know, again, there's some things that's going on, which I'm not going to start naming names, but, you know, I think about Paul and Barnabas. Now, them two were like peas in the pod. They were tight. But then they had a disagreement. And folks, before anybody says something, me and I don't have a disagreement. You know, there's nothing between me and him. It's just I have a disagreement with others. But then again, you know, like I said, we're all entitled to disagreement, so we should be able to either get along with it or respect it or understand it. But sometimes decision has to be made, and as a server, owner, and even as a minister, I do have to make decisions. Sometimes they are hard, and sometimes people don't agree with it. But that's life of being a leader, and a lot of people don't see that. They don't understand what it's like to really make decisions. So we're going to try this. We're going to see which way it's going to go. I'm going to leave it in God's hands because, again, I'm not sure yet, but I was approached in church, and I was offered another teaching position in church dealing with youth. I kind of told the young man, I said, well, you know, I appreciate the offer. I said, I'm more of an adult teacher. But I tell you what, I'll come to your class Sunday. I'll sit in on it a few times. But let me pray about it because that will take some commitment. And if I go that direction, that's why, again, this private thing may be just what it's going to have to be. Because, again, if I start getting into another teaching position, I'm going to really have things on my hands with that teaching position, the men's teaching position, the yard cutting and the studying. I ain't got time for all these distractions. And all these servers and all this other stuff, you know. So I don't know yet, folks. That's just too far down the road. But anyway, it's Friday night. Thank you for being here. I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad that you're ready to get fed. And I was making fun with Lisa because she kind of threw a little joke at me. Yes, I do got a cup of water here ready to go because there's some scriptures to read. So just bear with us through all this. So I'm glad that you're here and I'm glad that you're ready for another message. And like I say, if we get everything straight up tomorrow, next week we will be on our Discord server. So, question I need to ask you folks. Do Christians sin? Fair question, right? Do Christians sin? I'm pretty sure we all can come to an agreement and say, yes. Now, y'all may understand this title when I get to it, but we do sin. And have you ever heard, and you may not heard this, but have you ever heard that when you sin, you are no longer in fellowship with God? I don't know how many of you might have heard that statement, but I heard that passed on to me a lot, especially not too many days past. And the lady I was dealing with on Facebook, she was asking me a simple question. She said, well, Brother Jim, some folks in church told me that, you know, if we sin, we are no longer in fellowship with God. And I said, really? Who told you that? She said, well, some of the deacons in our church told me that. I'm like, wow, okay. Not necessarily so. You know, so I kind of gave her some scriptures and kind of explained to her where it's going on. But folks, what this boils down to, really, it's a very common misconception among Christians to say that. See, the picture painted is that your sin puts up a barrier between you and God so that He couldn't be close to you or bless you. In fact, He might even punish you by making bad things happen in your life until you got right with Him again. The solution always given was for you to confess your sins to God and be very sincere about it so that God would know you really meant it. Then you could be assured that you were forgiven again. And that resulted in you being back in fellowship with God. However, for years, I myself have often wondered if I had convinced God that I was sincere enough to be forgiven. I thought about that a lot. God, did I convince you enough to let you know that I was sincere enough to be forgiven? And see, but the reason why I was thinking that way, because in my early Christianity, when I first came to Christ, that idea that a Christian can break fellowship with God comes really, folks, from an old covenant mindset that if you will obey God, and this is what they say, they're saying that if you will obey God, he will get close to you. But if you don't, he will turn away from you. And that's an old covenant mindset. That's all in Levitical laws, and that's in Mosaic laws. That's in all the old covenant laws of the Bible. But folks, I want you to know something. We are no longer held under the law. And this is where people get misconceptions about. Christ fulfilled those laws. The old covenant was done away with. The new covenant is now in Christ Jesus. We fulfill the law in Christ Jesus. No longer do we fulfill the law in the old covenant. And that's where that mindset comes from. And that's why they say, well, you know, if you sin, you lost that relationship, God's going to get away from you, things going to get cold, you better make it right for him to get back. And quite frankly, sometimes I'm just saying this out of fun. Sometimes I would love just to slap the people for telling other people that. And that puts condemnation on the folks when you tell somebody that. And we know already what Romans 8:1 says, therefore there's no condemnation to those under Christ Jesus. Well, wait a minute. If the new covenant is saying this, but yet the old covenant says, no, you can lose your relationship, doesn't that sound like an oxymoron or a contradiction? But that's from the lack of studies. That's the lack of people not really studying the Word of God. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, folks, And Lisa, she's going to post them up there the best she could. I know I tripped it up because we switched to Zoom and going that way. But if you got your Bibles, we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to jump to verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to jump to verse 15. Starting with verse 1 in chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall be you in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and increase of your herds, increase of your cattle, and offsprings of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed you shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And verse 9 says, the Lord will establish you as holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk his ways. And let's go to verse 15, which reads this. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And see, folks, that's where this mindset comes from. That's where his mindset comes from, because they're pulling from those passages. They're pulling from the old Levitical laws. They're pulling from the old Mosaic laws, you see. But again, that was the old covenant before the new covenant came and took place of the old covenant. And that's where they get the mindset at. And many preachers and teachers, some out there, unfortunately, still preach that. See, when you sin, your relationship or your fellowship with God is no longer. And that's where they get it from. So with that, let's go to the Word in prayer and pray to God and open up our hearts to Him. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as I stand before You tonight, I ask of You to search my hearts, my mind, and my soul. If there's anything I have not confessed to You before the start of this message, please forgive me where I have fallen short of Your precious glory. Father, I do not intend to sin. And I fully understand that You know that, because again, You know everything, and You know what we're going to do before we even do it. And I'm so grateful that You don't hold us accountable to that. I know we will have to be held accountable when we stand before Jesus. I understand that, and we shouldn't commit sin on purpose, but a lot of times we do sin, and we do miss the mark. But thank goodness for Your mercy and Your grace that You don't hold it against us. So I ask of You to forgive me where I have fallen short of Your precious glory. I don't claim to be perfect, don't claim to know it all, don't claim to have it all together, and I do make mistakes. Father, I thank You for Your gracious love, Your kindness, and Your mercy, and I ask of You to bestow blessings upon all those here tonight. They could have been elsewhere. They could say, I don't feel like sitting down there listening to that message tonight. I'm going to play games or watch TV or do whatever they wanted to do. But they decided to come and made an effort to get here. So I ask You, God, bless them for that. Help them with their household. And You know what they are dealing with and what difficulties they have. And I ask of You to help them, guide them, show them the direction, show them the love, grant them the peace and the mercy they seek. Because the Word says, seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. And knock, and it shall be opened. We pray all this to You in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. And that's why I titled this message tonight, my friends. And I was thinking about this when that dear lady told me that. How is your relationship with God? How's your relationship with God? And I want you to know something very important, my friends. The good news is that none of that is true. What I said earlier about the old covenant, none of that is true since we, you and I, are people under the new covenant. And here's why. First thing, we, you and I, are united to God. You can't get any closer to God than that, and sin does not break that union. It doesn't. Why I say this? What I'm going to quote to you tonight is strictly from the Word of God and Scriptures. But look what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says about this. That's why I said, you know, you cannot get any closer to God than that, and sin does not break that union with you. So 1 Corinthians 6, 17, which says, but He who is joined to the Lord is, and make note of this, folks, is one spirit with Him. Since we've been joined, how can we be unjoined? You tell me. The second thing is, all your sins are already forgiven, whether you confess them or not. Let me repeat that again. Have you heard that? All your sins are already forgiven, whether you have confessed them or not. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. And you, being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcisions of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, do not get me wrong, my friends, though it's fine and probably healthy to tell God when you sin. It probably is. I do that a lot sometimes myself. When I sin, I use it sometimes if I'm driving or walking or sitting here at this desk or whatever. I usually go straight to God and say, oh, God, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for being angry. Forgive me for thinking that against my brother or sister. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. We all do that. I guarantee you we do. I will confess to you, I do. And like I said, it's probably fine and it's healthy for you to tell God that when you sin. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It doesn't get you more of his forgiveness. Some people think, well, if I confess more, I get more forgiveness. No, folks, forgiveness is forgiveness. That's it. There is no level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5 forgiveness or points. Oh, I get 2 points for this one. I get 5 for that one. I get 10 for this one. No, folks, there is no more forgiveness. He forgives, and that's it. He forgives. Jesus said himself that his blood covers all sin, past, present, and future. That means it's all. But it don't give you a right to keep out there committing the same sin. And this is where a lot of people get the misconception about the once born again, or once saved, always saved. And then you love to use that argument that you can lose your salvation and gain your salvation, lose your salvation. No, folks, your sins has been forgiven if you were truly converted with the anointing power of the Holy Spirit that he has came to dwell within you in your body. You are made a new creature and you cannot break that bond. And you will be transformed. Some folks do change right away. Some folks do change fast. Some folks are like a little turtle. They go a little slower. But we are on that journey, making that slow progress to be righteous before him. Now, there are some that mouth just the words, that little prayer that some call the sinner's prayer. But I'm going to tell you right now, you show me in the Bible where it says the sinner's prayer. There is no such thing. And some folks will just mouth off the words, well, okay, I'm saved, but they go out there and still living like a sailor the following morning. No, they have not been converted. But for a Christian, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Folks, that's what Colossians 2:13 is telling us. You have been forgiven. And yes, I know people hurt us, and I know Christians hurt us, and I know it's difficult sometimes to get past that. So again, try not to force another brother or sister to try to make up with a brother and sister that is in trespass or in sin. The best thing for them is let God handle it, and y'all just kind of stay separated for a while and let the course take its course. The same thing with Paul and Barnabas did. They broke up, and if you study the word, you would see. And we don't have no evidence of it. Have they ever got back together again? We don't have that information. Most likely they didn't. But they went on to do better ministries. But look what Ephesians chapter 4 and 31 was telling us. And I love these words. And it was telling us, you know, let all your bitterness, your wrath, your anger, and clamor, and all your evil speaking be put away from you with malice. So I know sometimes it's difficult because that's the nature of the flesh. And that's why we must confess to God daily. That's the only time I think sometimes that we can get to peace. But still, don't try to make a thing with God. If I keep confessing this, I'm going to get more of your forgiveness. No, you're not. And the third thing that we need to look at and why our relationship with God is not broken because of the new covenant. Because again, what I just said earlier, folks, we are not under the law of blessings and cursing as laid out in the old covenant that I just read to you. You and I, we are already blessed to the max with every spiritual blessings in Christ. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says so. It's right there. Look at the words, folks. which says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." That got to be a misprint, right? No, it can't be, folks. God's word is God's word. And the word for fellowship in the New Testament is the word that we use today for intimacy. And John wanted the people he wrote to enjoy this intimacy just as much as he did. Why I say that? Look what 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says. And I love little John. You know, I mean, we love the big John side of it too, but I love the little Johns. But look what he says right there, folks. He says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Lovely. Lovely. And when we sin, we do not lose our fellowship with God. That is, our intimacy with God. It is impossible, because Jesus has finished everything required by the Father to get us into fellowship with him and to keep us there. It's totally based on Jesus' performance on the cross and not of our behavior. You get that? Our relationship, our intimacy is with God because Jesus finished it all on a cross for you and I. And there's no scriptures that says a Christian breaks fellowship with God when he or she sins. And I'll stop right there, because again, what are we covered with? Somebody care to throw that in the room? When you went to Jesus Christ and submitted to him and surrendered your life to him, what are we covered with? And y'all should know that song by heart. "What can wash away all my sins? The blood of Jesus." And that's how God looks at you and says, "Not guilty. Not guilty, Lisa. Not guilty, Bill. Not guilty, Fred. Not guilty, Jill. Not guilty, Orthodox. Not guilty, Jimmy. We are covered by the blood of Jesus." And that's why there's no scriptures that says a Christian breaks fellowship with God when he or she sins. If that were the case, every Christian you and I knows would constantly be breaking fellowship with God all the time. All the time, folks, we'd be breaking that fellowship all the time. And listen to what Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says about that. And again, folks, you want evidence, you want proof, read the word of God. Look what it says. "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." And folks, what this passage defines sin as, not living by faith. That is, not living dependent on God. If we are not depending on God, we are depending on our flesh. And the content of that verse is certainly in content of eating meat sacrificed to idols. But it is a truth which transcends that issue. Anytime a person lives even one second, depending on the flesh rather than God, he considers it sin. And this means all of us here tonight, all of us, including me, just because I'm a minister, I'm not exempt from this. But this means all of us here tonight may sin a lot more often than we are aware of. That's what it means. We may sin a lot more than we think we do. I was thinking about, you know, my wife's been teaching these kids the lessons. I believe it was in Exodus, but I don't know if you ever heard the story, but in the Holy of the Holies, the tabernacle, the way it was set up, and it was different sections. And there was a story, you know, I preached on this message many, many, many years ago called Jingle Bells. But what these little Levitical priests would do, they would dress up in all these garments. They would be washing over there and offering up burnt offerings and washing here and, you know, and washing there and washing there. But there's a point, the reason why we call it Jingle Bells, because they were given, I forgot the name of the little thing, but they had like little bells on. They had to constantly keep shaking it for the bells to be ringing. And as they start going through those procedures and before they got to the Holies of Holies, they had a rope tied around their ankle. And the people on the outside of that will be listening for the bell. And all of a sudden, if they quit hearing the bell, they realize one thing. The person or the priest that was assigned to go into the Holies of the Holies to offer up burnt offerings was not ceremonial clean. God struck them down dead. So they couldn't go in there and retrieve the body to get all those priestly robes and everything else. So that's why the rope was there. So they would drag the dude back out and get all the stuff off of him. Okay, now who's the next one? You see, folks, we sin a lot more often than we think we do. And if we stood without the blood of Christ before God, we would drop dead. You think about that one. That's how powerful the blood is. See, folks, the word fellowship means partnership or partaker. And with this in mind, fellowship with God has to do with a wonderful position of our union with God, the moment of your salvation. How do I know this? Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says. I read that earlier. I quoted it before it was even posted, but I quoted it. It said, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. And that union cannot be broken by a Christian's sin. And yet, there is a common belief preached by some that when a Christian sins, some kind of barrier comes up between that person and God until that sin is fully confessed to God. You see, folks, in the new covenant, God removed forever any barrier between the believer and himself when Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. So there's your evidence. You'll see it when you read it. Then he says, I will never again. Listen to this. Read it very carefully. He says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Now, if God went back on that, wouldn't that make him an Indian giver? We all heard that phrase. Oh, no. You were saved. Nope, I'm going to take it away from you. Nope, here you go. You can have it back again. Nope. You sin. I'm going to take it away. Nope, here you go. You can have it back again. Nope. You sin. I'm going to take it. Nope. No, folks, God does not operate like that. Come on. Whoever tells you that, it's hogwash. They don't know the scriptures. You see, folks, to lose fellowship with God, what means, and here it is, to lose fellowship with God would mean to lose your salvation. And we know, folks, according to the word, this is not so. I think of that song, signed, sealed, and delivered. You were signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of Christ. Now, I will say this much. If a believer is not in fellowship with God, listen to this carefully and closely. If a believer is not in fellowship with God, it will always come down for one of three reasons. The first reason would be that either he or she has disobeyed God's will. The second reason why you might not be in fellowship with God, because he or she is not getting along with other fellow believers. Let me repeat that again so you can hear carefully, because some of you kind of know some of the things we've kind of been going on a lot with many Christians out there today. A lot of times you're not in fellowship with God because you're not getting along with other fellow believers. It should be our mission. It should be our goal to make everything right. To correct the wrongs, the hurts, the harms, the pains. We should be going out of our way to make everything right. So look, brother, look, says, I do not want to cause divisions. I do not want to cause discord. I do not want to cause pain. I do not want to cause you to stumble. I stumbled. I made you stumble, and I'm sorry. Let's make this right. Let's make this right. I know it's difficult because a lot of times we're in pain and hurts, and it's difficult. But you should, as a Christian, make everything right. If you're not trying to make it right, then you're living in sin because you're basing that upon pride. Well, I'm not going to do that because I don't care for that brother. I don't like that brother. He hurt me. He hurt me. And if he's not trying to make it right, he's living in sin and he's deceiving everyone else. Or she. And the other reason why they're usually not in fellowship, because he or she believes a lie so good, they convince themselves, and therefore they are living a lie. I've done nothing. I've done no wrong. I forgave that brother. But when they say they did that, their actions short on dictated. Their actions short on short. When they say they forgive you, but yet they still act like they want to blow you off or something, they don't have nothing to do with you, don't want to talk to you, don't want to fellowship with you, don't want to say nothing to you at all, then that tells me they're not forgiving. So therefore, they're living a lie. So therefore, they are in sin. So therefore, they are breaking that relationship with God. See, even a Christian can be mistaken in his understanding of the truth. They're convinced in their minds, I am of the truth. I made up with so-and-so. But I'm not going to try to make it better. But then you're causing that brother to stumble whenever they get into sin and distraught and mayhem and say things and do things. See, we're not supposed to make another person stumble, folks. And I said this to that lady in Facebook. I have seen this as a pastor in church. So many church-going people hurt one another. Wow. But whenever someone is living like that, they're living a lie and they convince themselves it's not a lie because they are in truth. This is why John warned us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. He warned us. This is a warning, folks. And you better read this carefully. And when he says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. See, folks, take note of this. Let no one deceive you. Stay close to God, because I guarantee if you're in the right frame of mind, if you are in the right spirit, and you are in the right heart. I don't care how you try to justify someone else's sin. I don't care how much you try to make it right. I don't care how much you try to convince your mind. I got no issue with it. I'm okay with it. You know, in fact, he ain't bothering me about it. But folks, you're being deceived. You better start staying close to God and ask for the clarity and ask God to show you that real truth. And you better pray, and you better read God's words daily so we will not be out of fellowship with him by being deceived of the things of the world or being deceived of the smooth, flattery talks of other people. You better be careful on that. Now, once a believer discovers why he or she is out of fellowship with God, well, what they should do, they should confess that sin or sins to the Lord and claim his forgiveness. And how do we know this? Well, let's read what the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and we will be ending in chapter 2, verse 2. This is where my friend Lisa was picking up. Well, Jim, you're going to need some water on this one. Well, I hope I don't. But again, we're going to be reading 1 John. Oh, 1 John chapter 9 and ending in verse chapter 2, verse 2. Starting in verse 9, chapter 1. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not with us. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things are right to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but note of this, but also for the whole world. For the whole world. For the whole world. That's awesome. A believer could never have a joyful fellowship with the Lord if sin stands between them and never repent of it and come running to him. That person will never know the real meaning of peace. You hear that? If that person never confesses all that sin to him, and even make it right for others, they will never know peace. They're fooling themselves. They think they're going to have peace. I got a clear conscience, Jim. I'm okay. Brother, I got a clear conscience. There's nothing wrong. But I see it. Yeah, there is something wrong because you're not confessing it. You're only fooling yourself. You will answer to it one day. You may not confess it before others. You know, okay, that's fine. But you're going to give an account for it. Trust me. We all will. All of us here tonight. We're going to be held accountable for our actions before Jesus Christ that one day. Scary thought on that one, isn't it? Scary thought. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. Another aspect of fellowship is our experience of intimacy with God. And this is the enjoyment we have when we commune with God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So last but not least, folks, how can we stop enjoying our intimacy with God? Can we stop our intimacy with God? Can we? Don't be afraid to answer. Can we stop enjoying our intimacy with God? I don't either, but we can if we're not careful. Absolutely, folks, we can. But it's not because he recoils from us when we sin. It's not because he runs away from us when we sin. It's not because, you know, I don't know you no more. No, folks, that's not the reason. See, when a Christian sins, they are not experiencing fellowship or intimacy with God in that particular moment. Maybe short-lived. I don't know how long it may last neither. But that means, that would mean, in that particular time, we do lose our union with God. But we don't lose that fellowship. We can't be separated from our God with whom we are united, folks. It can't be. You were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I know that's, I think it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 or 14. I can't remember which one. But see, who can break God's seal? None of us. None of us. So yes, we do sin. Yes, we do make mistakes. And it should be, we should make every effort to amend those mistakes. Every effort. That should be the core from each of us. And if we're not willing to do that, that means pride is standing in your way. And you know what pride is? Pride is sin. Plain and simple. You're being pig-headed. Stubborn. Folks, what we need to be doing, what you should be doing, enjoy your fellowship and intimacy with God without fear that you will break fellowship with Him. You should be in a position where you should not be so distraught that you are breaking that fellowship with Him. No, it should not be that, folks. You should not be under that condemnation. You should not be under that fear. You can't. You can't relax and live in confidence each day as fully forgiven, permanently united, free from the law and sin, child of God, because the cross worked. The cross worked. It was finished at the cross. We know a song. I don't know all of this, but I love how it sings this passage. At the cross, when I first saw the light, and all my sins were washed away. Folks, God's invitation for you today. Come and enjoy fellowship with me and with each other here tonight. Come and share the life that is real. Amen. Let's pray.